You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When do we celebrate bad behavior? Why is it that it's okay? No. Where's a little sportsmanship in the game? The biggest thing I feel, I've heard a bunch of people go on and say, well, this is what she did to me. This is what she did to other players.
Yeah, I don't like that. Yeah.
Just how many times your dad said you or your mom said to you, and you're going, well, Joel did it. And damn it, don't tell me what somebody else did.
The big girls love that. Chicks love the last shot opportunity. Somebody give me a napkin so I can wipe my mouth.
All right, it's another episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast. He is Cedric Maxwell. I am Joe Swayze. That time of the week to catch up with the Celtics, the NBA. We're wrapping up the regular season at this point, right, Max? Not a whole lot of games left. So with that being said, we'll also talk about what the Celtics have been doing lately. We'll get Max's take on this whole Caitlin Clark situation and all that. We'll save that for the end, though. I mean, everyone's had their opinions at this point, so we got to hear Max's, right? But like I said, first things first, let's talk about the Celtics, what they've been doing lately. I mean, it looks like they're going to cement that number two seed in the Eastern Conference. And this episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast is brought to you by FanDuel. Head over to FanDuel.com/Boston if you haven't already. All right. If you guys don't know, FanDuel's in Massachusetts. You can win $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Head to FanDuel.com/Boston, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that later on in the show. But first things first, Max, the Celtics, they won their first matchup against the Toronto Raptors. They still got one more left, two games left, right, for this weekend to wrap this thing up. But it looks like they're going to cement this two seed. And Max, how are we feeling about the Celtics team? Because, you know, they're coming back from the road. They came back from a loss in Philly, a 52-point heck of a performance from the MVP and Joel Embiid, if you ask me. But, Max, how are you feeling about this Celtics team going into the playoffs as the number two seed?
If they're playing very good teams, I'm feeling very good about them. If they're playing teams that are below them, I get nervous because they have played down to the level of competition. We saw that with Houston. We saw that with Salt Lake. We saw that in with the Wizards in Washington. In the turn around and you blow Milwaukee out, that would be my example of a team that, you know, that plays championship teams maintain a certain level. And the inconsistency of this team on that side has been the one thing that I look at. They've had an outstanding year. This is an outstanding year, but it depends on, to me, who they play. If they play a Atlanta, they might struggle. If they play Miami, Jimmy Butler is giving them fits. So it depends on who they match up with in the playoff race once it gets really going.
Yeah, I mean, those two teams are certainly options, right? After recording this, I mean, Celtics, again, they've cemented the number two seed in the Eastern Conference. But right now, I mean, Miami looks to be the first-round opponent. That could change in the near future, right? Could be Atlanta. Even Toronto has a chance, right? So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting because you're wondering which team's going to show up, you know? And when I say that, I'm not quite sure. I'm going to go out and say, like, man, this team, because of what we've seen, can go out there and blow it in the first round. But if a team like the Hawks or the Bulls or the Heat force a game seven, I mean, you can't help but wonder, what does that do for a team in the long run, a team that's trying to make it back to the NBA Finals, you know, less than a year after making that deep playoff run. I mean, so one thing we learned about that run is that it was exhausting, especially for guys like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
I think that it is that when you talk about, but here's, I think, maybe the one saving grace. And I'm sure right now our listeners are saying the same thing to me. It's like, okay, Max, have they played with their complete roster? When's the last time you saw them play, walk out with Rob and have Horford and have going down the line with the people that have Brogdon? When have you seen that? And that's what I think you'll get in the playoffs. The only thing that will bother me is since they haven't played much together, how well will they play? When have you the best lineup that they had last year at the end of the year was when Rob was on the floor playing with Al Horford, Tatum, Brown, Marcus Smart. That was a lineup that just gave people fits. But we haven't seen that. I don't even know if we've seen that this year. But now that you have more options, when you have Derek White, you have Brogdon playing well, there's some things right now on the consistency side that I look at and I go, man, this is something that's going to be really, really good.
Yeah, I mean, that's what makes you confident, right? I mean, if you don't have those guys, you're wondering, man, which team's going to really show up here? I mean, if you look at Brogdon and Derek White, and you're seeing them find that consistency since the post All-Star break, it's relevant for sure. I mean, because we don't know which version of Rob's going to show up. And I do believe that, you know, that's very important, especially on the defensive end of the floor, you know, what this team is like when he's playing at a particular level, especially if we're talking about these top tier teams. But Max, are you afraid that they could actually, there could be some sort of a first round upset against a team like the Hawks or the Heat or the Raptors?
It really wouldn't surprise me with this team. This team is and it wouldn't surprise me if they win the championship. And I know people saying you're talking out of both sides of your neck. Well, that's because I've seen this team play like that this year. When they're playing their best basketball, they have been lights out, the best team in the league. But then we've seen really a lot of times when they played the Washington Wizards, they played the Houston Rockets, they played Orlando, came in here twice early in the season and beat them. So I just want to know, what version of this team are you going to see in the playoffs? That's going to tell me how far this team is going to go or they won't go.
Yeah, especially in their offensive approach too, right? Right, Max? I mean, if most of this playoff run is Jaylen and Tatum taking turns of taking over the game, I don't like that recipe, right? I like when the ball when they're sharing the ball, guys are, you know, 5-6 guys scoring in double figures. I mean, we know it's going to be a tight rotation. I mean, Joe Mazzulla has already shown us that ever since the All-Star break, if you ask me, with these, you know, 8, sometimes 9-man rotation. But I mean, this team is good enough to pull it off with that in that regard, right? In that space. However, you wonder what's going to happen if you know, they run into those hurdles where the offense just completely comes up dry and all of a sudden Tatum and Brown trying to shoot their way into a win.
Well, I think that other players you talk about who could be available that would help you out would be Grant Williams, you know, who's had early on this year, he was really great. But then the middle part of the year, Grant has been he's been inconsistent because maybe not the minutes he was getting. So but I tell you what, Joe Mazzulla has a lot of weapons, has a lot of options. You have two of the best players right now. If they're talking about wing players, this is the best two wing combo that you think about in the NBA right now, in Brown and Tatum. So I like their chances. They have great defenders at the initial point of attack. Derek White has been unreal. Derek White leads the league in block shots from the guard position. And so with him and Marcus and you just go down the line, this team is when they're playing right, they are fun to watch and they are dangerous.
Mm. Is there a preference out of those three teams that you would like to see the Celtics play against? I mean, is there a team that's the weakest link out of those three
let's go with the most dangerous team. The most dangerous team to me is down in South Florida. And that would be the Miami Heat. because of one Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler has been one of, in the big games, on the big stage, Jimmy Butler has been the most dangerous man out there. There are times when you look at Miami, they're not as strong as they've been. Bam has had a pretty good year. Tyler Hero has been okay, but the danger about that team is how well Jimmy Butler performs in crunch time.
Mm. Especially in the playoffs, right? I mean, I'll even take it a step further. I mean, that's my choice, if you ask me. It's the Heat, but Jimmy Butler and Eric Spoelstra, right? He's not even a player, but he scares me, right? I mean, in the best of seven series going up against Joe Mazzulla, now I'm not saying it's going to be, you know, impossible for Joe Mazzulla, you know, to go up that hill and knock off the Heat, but you have to, I mean, you look back and that was a heck of a chess match between Ime Udoka and Eric Spoelstra last season. So I'm expecting the same. I mean, he's that good of a coach, one of the best, if not the best, depending who you're talking to, in terms of, you know, revered coaches in the NBA. He's right up there with Popovich.
Well, you just opened it up. You just opened up, Joe Sway. What the hell was Ime doing at the game in Los Angeles? You sent me this picture of Ime Udoka at the basketball game. What is he doing there?
He's trying to get back in the social circle, I guess. I don't know. Maybe he's got something. He's discussing a little something with one of those organizations.
Both those teams you think about are very solid with their coaching. Darvin Ham, who I talked to before he got the Laker job, I said, "Don't take that job." He took.
hold on, Max. Before you finish, though, why did you say that? Why did you tell him that?
Well, I told him because I just thought it was going to be a mess. I thought it was going to be a train wreck. And it was.
Well, yeah, that, but also because how many coaches have coached LeBron James for a year or two?
Well,
LeBron
James, and then you looked at Westbrook was there. So they hadn't found a recipe to remove Westbrook. Now, Westbrook has been, with the Clippers, been really good, but with the Lakers initially, that was tough. And now the Lakers are playing much better. And you look at the Clippers, I think they're solid still with Tyronn Lue. So,
yeah,
it's kind of funny to see him in that environment of two teams. I think they have real solid coaching staffs. Unless he's coming back right now as maybe an assistant coach. But are you willing to go up that hill again if you Ime?
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to turn down that kind of an opportunity and then never get it again, you know? So I would assume so. So maybe that's something that's in the works right now. But I mean, the fact that he's out in California, I think that's the part that, you know, didn't surprise me at all. I'm like, man, I wouldn't be shocked if he hasn't been in Boston since, you know, last summer because of what everything that unfolded. But, you know, it's his first public appearance.
You want to have theater because you always like theater. What happens if Ime comes to the first Celtic game? Playoff game. It's in the crowd. Ooh. Is that going when your moment's going?
Yeah, I mean, if the Celtics win it all this year, he gets to probably stand an ovation because that's just how Boston
is.
No,
I ain't talking about.
If they don't win.
I'm not talking about coming to. I'm just saying he comes to the first playoff game. The Celtics play.
Oh, okay. Okay, so like in the next week or two.
What's the rumor mill with you and the top reporter, Bobby Manning? What are you guys going to do? You guys going to be going off if he was to show up in Boston for the first game after not being here at all.
But it wouldn't be anything negative. It wouldn't be a negative connotation. It would just be like, man, I'm shocked he's here.
That's what I'm saying. You would be shocked, and you would be doing your Joe Sway, you know, having your phone in your hand. You're just waiting for
it. Nah, I'm Max. Go say what up.
Wait for some shit to jump off. Wait a minute. Hold on. There's Ime doing something. So I think
I probably have one eye on him and one eye on the court. That's true.
Yeah, I think it'd be pretty fascinating. But no, I mean, yeah.
Good for him, though, Max. You know, I'm glad he's out in the public again.
Yeah, I'm glad. I think that you have to insert yourself. And in L.A., I think it's the easiest place to insert yourself because there's so many stars out there. And people don't even recognize you or what you're doing at a game. It's just like, oh, there's Denzel, there's this person, there's that person. So if you're in a crowd at a Laker game, you know, it's completely different than maybe being in the crowd at a Boston game, considering that I saw everybody yesterday going crazy over Flavor Flav. What the hell was Flavor Flav doing in the damn?
Everyone pulled up to this game.
You weren't there. And you took your day off. I heard
the one time, the one night I take off, and the who's who's of I don't know any different type of whatever you're into. It was Flavor Flav. There was a little bit for everybody. It was what's his name? Zappy, the quarterback, the Patriots quarterback was there. There's a little bit for everybody there. Jeez.
Yeah, it was. But Flavor Flav to be in the building was just like
so random.
I mean, but just so random. Like, you've seen random things before, but that was one of the most random sightings I think I've seen of the Boston Celtic game.
They had Celtics and Raptors game for no reason. Yeah. Like, not even a playoff game. Like,
Flavor Flav in the second row of a Celtic basketball game. Sean almost
you spit, to him?
Sean Grandy almost spit his gum out because he was like because he's that's his era. That's his genre.
There. That is his era. You know how I know that? Because Granny stays with the shell toes, man. Like he will that's his shit. Adidas. Mm-hmm. He's with the stripes all the time. Yeah. So I'm like, man, that's the best sign right there that yeah. someone's all about that 80s hip hop and you know
yeah still right he was like this is one of the most influential rap people or groups that was ever crossed. And the thing to me that was really crazy was looking at all the kids that which they have these things now, these medallions, these big gold medallions.
What's up with that? It's like a new thing this year. That's true.
That's a Flavor Flav move. He had the diamond clock on around his neck, and it didn't
with the look Viking hat.
Yeah, and it didn't look unusual. Before it looked unusual. We know when you have a guy with that big, now kid in the garden has that. And I'm not sure who came up with that chain to sell him. It was a brilliant move because everybody's selling them things. I think Sean was saying those things were being sold for $50 a whop. I'm like, what? That fake ass gold and that big whatever it is.
We used to buy those in the vending machine.
I wouldn't allow my kids to put that around their neck because I'm sure that shit would be green later on. that ain't right.
Max, back in my day, we used to rock the fake jewelry. You know what I mean? Like the fake iced out chains and whatnot. Nowadays, these kids and they're paying they're paying more than we did for this plastic jewelry, I guess. Is the new
thing. Yeah, and it's now every player iced out and.
Oh, no, those are real. But back in the day, I feel like kids don't even wear the fake jewelry anymore, man. I used to have, like, the chain, the cross that was, like, this big hanging across my chest, man. I was, like, what, 13, 14 years old?
Cross, wait a minute. The cross you could have put Jesus on would have been, I was on your neck. Okay. It was that big.
Yeah, Jesus had all the diamonds, all the rhinestones all over his face.
Oh, gosh. My goodness.
Yeah, but I got to take a picture one of these days, Max.
We digress. We'll get back.
Yeah. You wouldn't believe it, man. Another episode.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, Max, let's wrap up this episode with the talk of the week, ever since the NCAA national championship, women's national championship, man, everyone's been talking about Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and her you can't see me retaliation, if you will, the national championship.
You tell me what you think.
By double digits.
You tell me what you think about it, and then I'll go from there.
All right,
a different page.
So my thing is, I just think the whole thing was blown out of proportion in a sense of, oh, man, how could you do that to her? And that was so unsportsmanlike. Okay, I agree with that. I do. And for a couple of reasons. One, because of when she did it. I felt like it was sort of like, okay, it's at that point of the game where the cameras are on us. We all kind of know what's going to happen here. The game's wrapped up. The game's been wrapped up for a while, though, right? They're up by double digits, right? And then she decided to do it. And then she decided to talk her shit. I didn't like that. I think it's way more, it's organic when you just make a big play or turn around, you know what I mean? Like a 8-0 run and you're up by five and whatever. That's different. You can't control that. That's just your emotions. But I feel like she can control this one. She kind of wanted to show out and she wanted to embarrass her, obviously. And I just, I think it was, I'm not going to say classless. I mean, whatever the term may be, right? Okay, it was unsportsmanlike, right? But if this is a guy who did this, it's not front page news. You know, there's the racial component in it as well. You know, I think that's part of it as well. But I don't agree what she did, but I just think the thing was blown way out of proportion.
Well, I like what you said about that in the fact, and I'll hark back to something Michael Jordan said. And I think it was PJ hit a shot against their team when he was with Charlotte and they won.
BJ Armstrong?
BJ, yeah, BJ Armstrong. Yeah, yeah. Charlotte against Michael Jordan's team late and to win the game. And Michael Jordan was so mad. He said, "Yeah, you want to talk shit when you're up." He said, "It's more impressive to me when you see a guy and he's talking shit when he's down or the score's down."
Yeah, yeah. So it's easy to talk when you're up. Yeah,
I do agree. I do agree with that. Everybody coming to her rescue as if she needs it.
Yeah, then
you say the component of it is black and white. It's a racial thing. No. When did we, and hell, I'm a player like that, so I've done things before, but when do we celebrate bad behavior? Why is it that it's okay? Yeah. Where's a little sportsmanship in the game? The biggest thing I feel, I've heard a bunch of people go on and say, well, this is what she did to me. This is what she did to other players.
Yeah, I don't like that. Yeah.
Joel, how many times your dad said you or your mom said to you, and you're going, well, Joel did it. Damn it, don't tell me what somebody else did. Right. You hold yourself at a standard.
Right.
We talk about the championship. Those girls had never won at LSU. Congratulations. Right. I was happy they won. I was happy to see the way she played. But
and now no one's talking about that.
The narrative went from talking about them winning their first championship to her talking about, I'm a hood girl, and you guys say I'm this, I'm that. And they said, you know what, hon, let me give you a snapshot here. They talk about everybody. They talked about Jesus. But, you know, you go out and you just play the game. And you let your numbers do the talking. You let your championship do the talking for you. You know, I've been, people would say, well, how can you say that, Max, when you walked across the free throw line with James Worthy, I knew, my God, I'm here to get this and have, you know, put, give him the choke sign during the game. Well, we were not up in that game. That was a close basketball game. And I was just trying
to. It's the heat of the moment, Max. It's the heat of the moment. You're not thinking, oh, I'm going to do this because the camera's on me. Right, no, it's because you're pissed. You're into the game. Right.
I'm right there in the game. So I'm sure people say, well, how can you talk about that when you played against the Lakers? You played against this team and that team. But I also know when the Celtics lost to the Lakers in 85, I went to the locker room after the game and congratulated them on winning the championship here in Boston in front of me. I knew that was going to probably be my last game in the Celtic uniform. So I just think that in those terms for me, I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. I know Shaq has come up and said it was okay. Stephen A. Smith, oh my God, this is, how can you persecute this girl and that. No. Stephen A., it's not, if you are a champion, keep yourself at that level. That's what you want. You don't go down to the level of the next person and you don't say, well, she did this and so, oh, it was okay. No, it's not a black and white thing. It's just a class thing. It's not, it wasn't, I'll agree with the people who were saying that. It's just not a classy move for a classy organization to win a championship, and it took away, you know, part of that. Now, there's another side, and that what it did was it created a firestorm about women's basketball. And on top of that, I heard another guy say something, which I would have came to Reese's defense, where the guy said, well, Caitlin's going to be dropping 30 when she gets into WNBA. And Reese, she's going to be flipping hamburgers 2 years from now. That was like, where'd you come with that?
So, see, so, but you get what I mean, man.
There was some shit that went down.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you're drafting your fantasy team, do you ever wish you can handicap the best stars for your business team? If you're building your talent roster, you need Indeed. Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. Don't spend hours on multiple job sites looking for candidates with the right skills when you can do it all with Indeed. Find top talent fast with Indeed's suite of powerful hiring tools like matching, assessments, and virtual interviews. Hate waiting? Indeed's U.S. data shows over 80% of Indeed employers find quality candidates whose resume on Indeed matches their job description the moment they sponsor a job. Something I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because of its ideal matching system. Candidates you invite to apply through InstaMatch are 3 times more likely to apply to your job than candidates who only see it in search, according to U.S. Indeed data. With Indeed matching as soon as you sponsor a post, you can get a short list of quality candidates whose resume on Indeed match your job description. Boom, it's hiring at warp speed. Indeed does the hard work for you. Sponsor a job and we'll match you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your job description right when you post. With Indeed, you can start hiring fast. Join over 3 million businesses worldwide using Indeed to hire great talent fast. Indeed knows when you're growing your business, you have to make every dollar count. That's why with Indeed, you only pay for quality applications that match your must-have job requirements. Visit Indeed.com/Cedric to start hiring now. Just go to Indeed.com/Cedric. That's Indeed.com/Cedric. Terms and conditions apply. Cost per application pricing not available for everyone. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, that was. That was some shit.
Yeah, that was, man. Yeah,
that I didn't like, but it also, what she did, she sparked a conversation in doing, and you could see some of the hatred that came out for her. What did they have to do? Like I said, I did not even understand where the guy went with that. Yeah, Caitlin Clark is going to be a monster. The way she shoots the basketball in the WNBA. But I don't think the other girl's going to be next week be flipping hamburgers at McDonald's or Wendy's or someplace. I think she still has.
That's crazy, you know, man.
She's a great basketball player for the WNBA. So it's going to be a nice little, almost like the, you think about it this way. Was this a Magic Johnson, Larry Bird moment when they played against each other in college?
A modern day version, yeah.
Yeah, there was a
millions of viewers, absolutely.
Racial component about that people, you know, saw or and they put it to that. And hell, I was the first one to receive it. Once Larry got here, I'm that race ass black guy who's saying white guy can't play, and I received when Larry Bird stepped on the court the first time with me. But that harked back to me to the Magic Larry Bird game that they had, Michigan State versus Indiana State in college.
Right. But look, the difference in this situation, right, is let's talk about the casual basketball fan who just found out about Caitlin Clark 2 weeks ago, right? Mm-hmm. And man, they love it. It's, you know, she's great. You know, she's got attitude. She shows it. And things didn't go her way in that championship, right? And if you're looking from afar, or you're seeing the headlines, or you're seeing the highlights, and there's so certain people out there who will see someone like Reese and say, like, man, that girl is just, how could she do something like that? She's embarrassing her. There's so many millions of people watching this, but not understanding that there's a whole other component to this, man. Like the competitive nature and the fact that, you know, Kaylee had done it before. I just feel like there's a lot of people who jumped the gun. I mean, shit, fucking dude from Barstool, El Prez or whatever. Man, he was like, what did he say? Oh, man, I forget exactly what he said, but it was something like, it was ridiculous. He was like, oh, it was you classless piece of shit. Classless piece of shit. Max, how many times have you ever described someone a piece of shit? Like, that's insane. Like, don't, so like,
you want, you still,
there's a racial component there, man.
Like, Barstool? Let me ask you, does he own Barstool?
Yes, the president. No, that's embarrassing, Max.
That's embarrassing to you.
So then when Reese goes out and says, oh, when I do it, I'm a ghetto black girl, whatever. Absolutely. I can't help but, you know, that's what people are thinking. At least that's what the attitude was. Someone just called you a piece of shit. It's like, geez. That's incredible.
That is.
How many women basketball games do you think this guy's watched? But that was enough for him to say that? Like, it's incredible.
Probably the first time he's ever seen a women's basketball game. And just went, you know, but it was, like you said, it had components of a lot of different things. And LSU was a better team. Caitlin was super for, and maybe it takes the women's game to another level, you know, with those two. I mean, if they met again and they're on each other's schedule. But then you heard the other thing that kind of bothered me was, I think that Reese was upset because Jill Biden.
Yeah, I was going to get to that.
One of both teams, our first lady, wanted both teams to come. And normally it is the winning team which is invited to the White House. It's not the losing team. I've never heard of a losing team being invited to the White House. And I've been on championship run teams, and I've never been invited to the doggone White House after I lost a championship.
Why do you think that is, Max? Because Joe Biden loves himself some Caitlin.
Caitlin. And Caitlin is an American darling. Yeah. That happens to be playing in a league that desperately needed some attention. And it was Iowa, as white as they could be.
I was just going to say.
Versus Louisiana State, which couldn't have been any blacker.
Unless you pulled up.
Yeah, it smelled. It's like LSU pulled up in a hoopty and had gold chains on, and these girls from Iowa just stepped out of a cornfield on the tractor. So it was just like
step dances and whatnot. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. Doing their routine.
Yeah, yo, we're gonna be stepping over here. The other girls, they're doing a circle dance from Iowa.
Right.
So
And look, Angel has, she brings up a good point, man. Like, no one batted an eye when Caitlin was doing this. No, it's not bad sportsmanship. It's all, look at her. She's got attitude, you know.
I think that, but I looked at the play when she said that. Somebody said she waved the girl off. I looked at the play. It wasn't like that. They said she waved the girl off. She did like this. Yeah. It was a girl who wasn't going to shoot, and she said, shit. Go ahead and shoot. I'm not guarding you out there.
Right. You can't. I'm not scared of you.
It had nothing to do with her walking up to the girl saying, you can't see me. That wasn't it. So I just found a lot of stuff, which was, man. Well, like you said, that sometimes if you make noise in your league, hopefully that's something that's good for women's college basketball. That you look at and you're like, wow. And Don Staley, who, you know, has been like unbelievable as a coach, loses.
She's goaded.
And now I would have almost preferred, what would have happened if Don Staley's team had played against LSU? I would want to see that matchup because, you know, you look at those girls down in South Carolina.
She would have been like, No,
girl, you must be damn tripping. Your ass is tripping out here. You know that what somebody was. She damn tripping. Yeah, they would use the B word. I can tell you that. it was so many components. But if you ask me at the end of the day, I did not like what she did. I'm confused by Jill Biden wanting to bring the losing team to the White House. I've never heard that. And then
I don't know, Max. I don't know if he's calling the shots on that one, but okay.
And then Reese saying, her saying, look, we ain't going to the White House. We going to see the Obamas. Girl. Put a sock in it, please. Put a sock in it. All right.
Like, someone's got to get Reese a publicist, man.
Yeah. Nah. Grab this chick real quick and say, yo, you just tone it down a little bit.
Yeah, but Max, how would you feel though? How would you feel though if you just won and you find out that they're inviting both teams? Would that sit well with you?
I don't think I'd feel good. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, I'd feel some type of way about it. I'd be like, what are we doing here?
I probably would have felt a way about it, like a losing.
I'd be like, you guys like her that much? Like,
yeah, awesome, a losing man. Team. Well, you know, Jill, if you wanna see her, why don't you have her over for lunch or something? You bring Caitlin down.
They have a breakfast, and we'll come by after.
You can't have the winning team and the losing team come on. Are they coming on the same day? Did they come on the same day? Do you open up a court on the White House lawn so they can finish this thing off?
Run it back.
How is it done? And I did happen to like what Caitlin said. Now, see, to me, Caitlin was
smarter. Yeah, I was going to get to that too. I like what she said.
She said, look,
I'll say it. I got it right here. I'll say it. All right. I don't think Angel should be criticized at all. Mm-hmm. She told ESPN on Tuesday. I'm just one that competes, and she competed. I think everybody knew there was going to be a little trash talk in the entire tournament. It's not just me and Angel. We're all competitive. We all show our emotions in different ways. You know, Angel is a tremendous, tremendous player. I have nothing but respect for her. I love her game. The way she rebounds the ball, scores the ball is absolutely incredible. And she just continues to gush over her pretty much. But
that's a great publicist right there.
Yeah.
Whoever talked to her gave her the right information.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And Reese, in the last moment, maybe again, your emotions are raw, but, you know, just some of the things. But girls who look like me, who say they're too hood and that, and all y'all said this, and you wouldn't say nothing to her, and she was salty. I don't know if I've ever seen somebody as salty winning a championship.
A salty winner, yeah.
That's a salty winner. Know what I mean?
That's a good way to put it, actually, yeah.
You win, and you're going, okay, you know. They were a tough opponent. That it wasn't even about it. And it wasn't even about their opponent. It was more about what my coach always said. It's about me. It's I. They said I am. This is what they said about me. I. When we know that team sports is about the five people who are out there. It's about the team versus each other. And my coach used to say that. He said, you can't have that many eyes, Cedric, when you're talking about your UNCC Charlotte team and you're saying, well, I was hurt in my foot, but I decided. And he just circled all the eyes that I had in the conversation and said, look how many eyes you have, not about us. Mm. And that to me was something I looked at. So, yeah, it had a lot of Atlanta Housewives in it. That's what I was.
Yeah, a little bit for sure. I mean, it was a little more Patrick Beverly, a little too bad Patrick Beverly for me. You know, at the end of a game, trying to gloat a little bit. But yeah, just like I said from the top, Max, when we first started talking about this, it just seemed more like a this is my moment. You know, it's a dead ball. The cameras are, you know, where they're supposed to be at. It's go time. You know what I mean? Like, it just seemed planned out a little too planned out.
Yeah, it seemed too contrived at that
point. Yeah, yeah. Not, you can't have that.
Like, all the cameras on me. I'm going to walk by you. I'm going to put my ring on my, show you what my ring, with the ring.
She did the whole thing. She knew she was going to go viral. She knew she was going to go viral. Like, you do that in the middle of a play when the game's really close, you don't, you may not go as viral. You know, you, that might just be a highlight, but it's not going to be the talk of the other day.
Well, let me ask you this. I'm going to do something and you tell me, is this right? Steph Curry doing it. Good night, Celtics. How's that?
If he's a college kid, that might be a talking point, but we can't pretend like the woman part of that doesn't you know that's the bigger part here, right? I mean, people are like, oh, how could you embarrass that white girl like that? Oh no, everyone's watching.
Let me tell you the biggest
more part. About that, Max.
Let me tell you about the biggest part, and I'll talk to somebody else who was.
It's like Chris Rock once said, man. You can't. Oh, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I'm gonna let somebody who did was doing basketball. And they were doing it. Is it the what is it? The young ones that travel around the country, playing ball all the time, all over the country. Young kid, AAU.
Oh, the AAU, yeah, circuit.
AAU yeah. Basketball. He said when that behavior is at the top, he said that behavior filters down to the bottom, and you get kids who try to emulate what she did. And it's not good for the game. That, to me, is, I think, one of the biggest points that I heard from somebody who was a AAU coach. They talked about that example of, you know, of what you want. But wasn't it the same kind of example? You think about how the girl played some game, and I'm not sure who she played for. They were doing the lineup where they were shaking hands, and the girl comes down and cold cocks the girl. It's her in the face. It's like, jeez. Man. This is supposed to be women's basketball. They've taken it to a whole nother level.
You know, it's interesting you bring up Steph Curry because she has a very similar game, right? She can shoot from deep, and you know that type of basketball is obviously, you know, he changed the game with that, right? He changed the whole entire generation to thinking that, you know, you can take those shots and that's okay, that's acceptable. But Steph Curry is also a low key one of the bigger trash talkers, right? I mean, so those little things, those little, you know, remarks and stuff like that. It looks like Caitlin picked up on that as well. So she added that to her arsenal.
Caitlin's going to be – I'm going to be interested to see how that works in the WNBA.
Oh, the WNBA, man, this is huge for them. And you know what? If I'm a GM, I'm looking at Reese as well. I'm keeping my eye on Reese as someone that can, you know, sell some tickets, be that defensive player that everyone wants to go and see. And
but do you see her
that next time she plays Caitlin. So
let me ask you this, though. When you look at their skill set, which one of those players is more skilled for the WNBA? And probably would be Caitlin.
Because
this chick pulled up one time from damn Steph Curry range. I'm like, did she shoot it from there and knocked it down? And then the step back jump. I said, I'm wondering how Reese is going to be playing in WNBA as a power forward at 6'3". When you look at a lot of them girls in there, they 6'7", 6'8". Yeah. They ain't taking no crap in there. I mean, you look at that and you're going, this is gonna be interesting to see how her game goes to another level. So
definitely.
But guys, so, you know what? I know we've talked and
yeah, we went in.
Again, that's what we do. I'm sorry, but we always what do we do? We keep it under what?
We got to keep it on a 100, Max. That's what we do here. So stuff takes time.
We're gonna tell you what we believe. We ain't gonna try to sugarcoat it. You know, we're only stronger when you mash that like button, subscribe to our podcast and what we do. And I want to thank a lot of you. You know, thousands of you for the Isaiah response when I had
man, that was huge.
A lot of people responded to that, man. We had such a ball, and last night I happened to see Isaiah, and we were talking about Isaiah Thomas. If you don't know what I'm talking about, we had a podcast with him. The great Isaiah from the Detroit Pistons was one of our other podcasts that we have. So, you know, I want just to thank you guys personally for just hooking us up with the views and the likes and all that stuff.
Between the two episodes, because it's a two-parter, right? Between both of them, we're almost at about 100,000. of viewers and downloads. So it's incredible, guys. We appreciate the support, obviously. And you know, because of that, in our next episode, we're gonna tell you guys how you can win this autographed jersey, Cedric Maxwell jersey. Also have another episode coming out before the end of this week. So stay tuned for that, man. And we'll explain all that in our next episode. We'll explain the giveaway and how you can win big, for sure. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast. He is Cedric Maxwell. I am Josue Pavone. We'll check you guys out later this week. And stay tuned, obviously, to our next episode and how you can win that jersey, man. We'll see you guys then.